All right, you're back in the DFSR on the Overtime Media Network, broadcasting from the Vivid Seats studio. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis. These are some vivid seats we're sitting in here, buddy.
Buddy, this podcast is official now. Like, we're back for the NFL season. I'm pumped, but we got sponsors. We're on networks now. It's all happening. Football's back for week one, couple weeks down the pike here. I mean, what should we get to first? Should I talk about the podcast network? Should we talk about the sponsorships? Do you want to just get into football? Where do you want to start here? Because I think the
people came here for football, Doug. So I think we start there and maybe explain who we are for the people coming over from the network. That would be a good place to start, in my opinion.
You're nothing but a pro, buddy. We're daily fantasy sportsrankings.com. But you hate typing in all those buttons and letters on your keyboard. So you type in dfsr.com, and dfsr.com/deals. is going to get you a subscription to our premium service. It's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, MLB, while that season's still going on, NBA down the pike, all of it covered under one subscription package. So dfsr.com/deals, get you started. We're going to be with you all season long talking football. We're actually getting started earlier on the podcast than usual this year. It feels like football, it's just so ubiquitous now. Maybe there's so much to talk about that we just wanted to start a few weeks early. Usually we wait a few more weeks, but it seems like football is just... it becomes all-encompassing this time of year. I don't know. Do you want to add anything to add? I feel like you're a pro here, and I almost have too many things to talk about. I know your list was seemingly endless, but where do you want to start?
No, so I think just to let people know, sort of this time of year, it's not really very fruitful to sit down and just try to make lineups. You know, like if you're in there on FanDuel and you're like, ooh, how can I make the extra $100 fit? You're probably wasting your time. I mean, there's still so much outstanding information as we wait for week one here, even though week one is just around the corner, that I think you'd be better suited to just kind of think about things on a higher level. And I think that's what how we'll wind up spending today's podcast, you know, just talking about, you know, what are the ramifications of Elliott and Gordon potentially missing the beginning of the season with our contract disputes? What are some change of scenery guys that we're excited about? What are some change of scenery guys that we just don't really care about? How do these, you know, there, I think nine teams changed their coaches in the offseason. How does that matter for DFS purposes? I think if you basically do that level of homework now and you kind of get a solid baseline on what we can expect going into the season, then as we lead up to week one, when that last minute news starts to come in, then you can be better suited to adjust on the fly. So that's certainly how I'm spending my time right now preparing for the NFL season. I don't know if you're, you know, practice looks any different, but that's what I'm up to right now.
If you are looking for some price specific stuff, I have a couple articles up on the site right now, dfsr.com. I'll put them in the show notes as well. I did a quick early dirty look at what seemed to be interesting pricing on DraftKings and FanDuel to start the season. I did also break down some rushing attacks in good spots for week one based on Vegas lines and some data around how Vegas lines can inform your decision to make play a running back, right? I mean, honestly, in this case, with Lamar Jackson, a quarterback as well, in terms of in terms of rushing yards. So those will be up on the site. We will reference those things during the course of the season. But let's talk real quick. Let's start here. Let's talk about some players that moved situations over the year. I feel like this is always the hardest one to get a handle on. But player movement in the NFL doesn't happen a ton. I mean, usually it's more about injuries. Like a guy just gets injured and then right. It's just gone because they either can't come back or they're gone for the season. Big time player movement, like by big time, I mean like superstar level player movement, really doesn't happen all that much just because, again, the guys just really can't last long enough in the NFL to get into that new situation and still be just sort of noteworthy. But there are some guys that did move in the offseason. I'm wondering your opinion about how we evaluate them going into week one. I'm not really thinking about them in terms of price. I'm just thinking about them in terms of maybe opportunity. Let's start with Le'Veon Bell. Bell obviously sits out all last season to get paid. He essentially does get paid, though. The jury's, I think, a little bit out about how much that was ended up being worth it. He goes to the Jets.
I think
Jets
he got
now.
Paid less than he would have been paid on the Steelers, but go ahead.
Was it less? I can't remember.
I think when it all came out in the wash, it was very, very similar. But,
okay, you know. So either way, the money here for us doesn't matter as much. But he does get a contract with the Jets. He comes into a situation. Jets have a new coach. We're looking at a guy who in 2017 was like easily the highest usage running back in the league. It wasn't even close. It was like, I think he was like 10% higher than the next closest guy, which I think was Melvin Gordon. So he was in a situation with the Steelers that we know that they are happy to just use their running back in every down situation. But now new coach here, new team. new uniform, everything. How do we evaluate a guy like Bell going into the season in terms of like where, because week one, it is going to be kind of important to have a sense of like maybe how the Jets are going to use him.
Yeah. So I think for starters, you know, it's worth noting that Gase, who's coming over, he was the offensive coordinator for the Broncos, you know, back when they were setting records under Peyton Manning. And yeah, he's a guy with offensive chops. So it's not like just walking into a situation like the Jets were in last year where you're like, yikes, we could put anyone as the running back one on this team. And it might be questionable whether we can play them or not. He's got a pretty reasonable young quarterback in Darnold. I think it's a generally bullish situation for me with Bell. Of course, in DFS, you want to also be looking at pricing. And so, you know, Le'Veon Bell, he'll be 7,900 on FanDuel to start this season. So that's below the top tier guys, right? So the big sort of three of Barkley, Elliott, McCaffrey, they're all in that $9,000 range, which is where we're used to seeing true running back ones, you know, guys, three down backs that are even catching the ball when the team is down and that sort of thing. Does that feel right to you? I mean, I guess I think we talked about this a couple months ago. You were probably a little higher on Bell than I was, but can we just assume that he's just going to go over to New York after taking a full season off and be touching the ball 25 plus times a game again? Like, does he need to even to be an $8,000 running back? I feel like there's a lot of moving parts here.
Well, see, I wonder if the Jets are going to be maybe in a situation not dissimilar than the Giants. They're just not going to be a very good team. I'm using them as a crosstown sort of rival slash maybe a comp because the Giants also have a running back that they were borderline reckless with last season in terms of how they used him on a bad team. That, you know, if you look at the early season over-unders, the Giants are 6 wins. The Jets are at 7.5. So projected to be a little bit better of a team, but not projected to be a playoff team by any means if you think 7.5 is the actual wins number. So if we're just using that as a quick and dirty comp to say, you know, what are they entering the season as? My guess is they're entering a season as a team that's not that good. Maybe they have an outside chance just getting to like 8-8 or something, 8-8, maybe 9-7. And if they think that's the case and they spent the time kind of getting their, in the offseason, getting this shiny new toy, I do think at least to start the season, they will not treat him with kid gloves. Like another thing that's important with the NFL to remember too is that sort of rest matters, right? Like fresh legs sort of do matter in the NFL. It's why we see late season running backs typically because of injuries kind of come in and shine in new situations because they just haven't had the crap beat out of them for 15 games or 12 games or whatever it is to the end of the year. So between the contract, the wanting to make it look like the contract is worth it, I feel like that does matter in some situations. If you're paying somebody wanting to just make sure that you use the thing, I don't know. Does that make sense? These are like, this isn't analytical in any sense because we'll get into the analytics later as we get closer to the season and actually say, like, what are we projecting for usage? Are we looking at 17 carries and 6 targets? Because if that's the case, then this guy's going to be an absolutely elite running back. And I feel like to start the season, there's really no reason for them to go into it and be like, oh, we're just going to kind of split carries. You know what I mean? Like, I think at least to start the season, it would seem to me that we could probably be very bullish on the projection.
Yeah, I think that's generally fair. I will say, like, yeah, the Jets were the second worst team in the league by overall point differential, right? So, like, this is a bad team that he's coming onto. And just on a high level, it's really hard to understand what a team in that position is doing, tying up so much of their salary cap much guaranteed money in a guy who, I don't know, he's certainly not, he's better than a replacement level back, but he's a 27-year-old running back, which, you know, don't have the greatest track record in the world. I guess he's essentially a 26-year-old running back because he took last year off. But yeah, I can't say I'm bullish for the Jets' future. I can see a world where Bell is a contributor. I don't know if you need to, I think like you and I sometimes disagree about how conservative or aggressive we need to be in situations like this. I tend to want to be more conservative, yes. Like, you know, generally feeling like I don't need to stick my neck out in a week where every single team in the NFL is playing. Like, do I really need to take a risk on a guy on a running back on a bad team that we haven't seen what the usage will look like yet? I don't think we do, but it could be that the value is just too great that we kind of need to. But I can't say I want to force it week one. I'll definitely see how our projections sort of come out. But it's, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes when it comes to guys like this and their projections, we're just kind of making it up. You know what I mean? So I will say on DraftKings, though, I think he's 7,100 over there. Yeah, 7,100. That price is probably too cheap. Like, that is the range where I would be willing to stick my neck out a little bit more. And that FanDuel around the $8,000 price tag, I feel less like it's an absolute must, even though our system currently still seeing him as the overall points per dollar favorite. So.
Yeah, I think, and you know, if you're listening to this podcast all season, you're going to know that we, James and I, do sort of at times differ about this kind of thing. And I think you're right. You tend to enter the season on a sort of more of a wait and see approach with a lot of guys. And that, I think, probably, if I'm being honest, is typically correct. You know, sometimes we disagree a little bit more about wide receivers and running backs. I think that's where I've fallen into the wide receiver trap more than once. I think I'm fully over it. I've entered therapy.
let's slide over to wide receivers real quick, because I think this is actually a good example of where it's okay to, like, okay, in terms of what we learn when guys switch teams, right? So Antonio Brown also leaves the Steelers. So the Steelers, you know, get rid of two of arguably the best 5 position players from the last 5 years in the NFL going into this season. Now, obviously, we already saw what happened with Bell last year, where Connor stepped in, and while he was slightly worse than Bell on a points per game basis, I think he was like 3 fantasy points worse per game than Bell had been the previous year, something like that. So, you know, not a huge difference. So now Antonio Brown leaves. I think a lot of people will look at the situation with the Raiders and, you know, try to forecast how that's all going to work. I like to go the other way and say, well, what is Brown leaving behind, right? So Brown leaving opens the door for Juju Smith-Schuster, who, you know, we got to see a few times last year as Brown was a little bit dinged up. We got to see what he could do when Brown was inactive. And Juju last year, and I give credit to Pro Football Focus because they did the math. I just happened to find it there. Juju, 15% more targets, 35% more fantasy points per game, with Brown inactive. He seems to me to be, like, you know, it's a changing situation. That seems to me to be a situation where we don't have to be as conservative, right? Like, this guy, we already know sort of what we're getting with Brown off the field. It's, he'll get all the wide receiver one reps going into camp. I mean, other teams can sort of game plan for it, but he's just obviously an incredible athletic talent. What do you think about Juju and just the Steelers passing offense in general coming into this year?
Yeah, he was an elite wide receiver with Brown around. Even when they shared the field together, I think it's hard to, like, you can't take Brown's crazy amount of targets that he had, that he was already like 168 receiving targets last year. So I don't think you can, you can't just give them all to Juju.
No,
that'd be ridiculous. Brown was the third most targeted wide receiver in football last year. So that part of it doesn't really kind of jive with me, but the part where, you know, you see a 10% upgrade over what he was doing last season, I think is totally reasonable. They have Moncrief, they have James Washington there. They are going to spread it out. It seems like a little bit more with the running backs this season. So you can't just transplant Brown's targets onto Juju. But the fact that we saw him already have such a prominent role in the offense, and knowing that there is a decent amount of target redistribution that you need to go through anyway, giving him, pushing him toward that elite group of targets this season is, to me, like, totally and completely reasonable.
Averaged 9 targets with Brown out of the game last year. If he had 9 targets a game over the course of 16 games, that would put him at 144 targets over the course of the season,
which would be so top, would be like
Brown
top
level.
That'd be like
that'd
top,
be top
10
5 though,
or something like that. Yeah. Like, I think that would end up like in the top 10. Let's say Joe. It was like Julio Jones had 170. Down to like Kelsey at 150 targets last year, which is somewhere around like the 8 range. So yeah, I think that would put him into like wide receiver 1 territory. So that's a good situation to look at and say, I think we can understand sort of like, I think we can be not, you know, overly aggressive, but we can say this guy will push toward, you know, WR1 like levels of targets. So I was going to say, like, wide receivers that go into a new situation, and I know I'm like, maybe I am just falling to the trap again because I get overly bullish about this. Like, you get Odell Beckham Jr. going to the Browns. Like, how do you evaluate that situation? Because that one I find is like, this is the exact situation where I'm like, oh my God, Terrell Pryor is going to be amazing for the Redskins. Wait till you see, you know, like this kind of thing. And then it just kind of doesn't happen. But year after year, I kind of fall into this. But then the Odell thing, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I need to re-enter therapy because I'm talking myself into him being like the very best wide receiver in all football because he actually has a real quarterback now. Like, how aggressive do you want to be with his projection going into the season?
Right. So I think Beckham is a different case than a lot of the guys we've seen switch teams in the past for a couple of reasons. The first is that at entering his age 26 season, that's that's still very young. You know, like he can still be in his prime. He's taken a couple of hits, but it's not like he's, you know, one of these guys that's just on borrowed time already. And he was just such a singular talent. You know, like remember when he came up in his rookie year and it just seemed like, I remember writing about him in our ebook the following year where he had, you know, been setting record paces for targets, yards per catch. Like the guy was an absolutely singular talent. And then he happens to catch Eli on the very back end of Eli's career. And I think it just really, you had all these stats, right? About, you were telling me a couple of weeks ago and I just didn't retain it all, but all these different stats about how Beckham was getting the most separation per Pro Football Focus, but, you know, was getting hit in stride at the lowest rate of any wide receiver in the NFL, or, you know, there was all these crazy, crazy reasons why he didn't perform. To your point, we have seen no shortage of cases where great wide receivers have switched teams and not really done anything. You know, Deion Branch comes to mind. But there's also guys like Randy Moss, who it's like, right. Oh, it turns out if you put Randy Moss on the team with Tom Brady, like they're just going to break all the records of all time, right? So right. I wouldn't say that Beckham and Mayfield are Moss and Brady per se, but I think I tend to lean more in that direction here. Like I think that's a more likely outcome, honestly, as crazy as that sounds, than one of these total duds like Pryor or whatever. Like Beckham is just, this isn't like dreaming on a guy who was like kind of good with an okay quarterback and now he'll be great with a good quarterback. This is like a guy who was ultra elite, one of the very best with a terrible quarterback, and now he's heading in with at least a good quarterback, you'd think. So
yeah, and yeah, like and you know, they have a coaching change as well, and Freddie Kitchens took over the offensive play calling in week 8 last year. And after that, if you just kind of just query for, you know, stats that just from that point on, Baker Mayfield was a top 5 quarterback. Chubb was a top 5, Mayfield was like a top 8 quarterback in terms of yards, but he was a top 3 quarterback in terms of touchdown throws. Passing touchdowns. Jeez, I'm struggling with how to say touchdowns. It sounds like my mom trying to describe football. And then you get Chubb, who was a top 4 running back in terms of yards. So this is an offense that really, I'm using those two guys just to mostly just say the offense was, really kind of just stepped on the gas and was using players correctly. And they were really operating without a wide receiver one. They had Jarvis Landry, but the rest of the kind of poo-poo platter of wide receivers that they kind of threw out there on a week-to-week basis, the level above replacement that Beckham is, like they were working with replacement-level wide receivers in those other slots. And now they get, like you said, one of the very best, maybe just the best overall talent-wise wide receiver. And even if you want to just split hairs, let's just call him like, you know, top 5 at worst, something like that. Put this guy split out wider in the slot. Now all of a sudden, that, you know, really we could be looking at him hitting like this very, very elite target level too. Buddy, real quick before we get into the next thing, any plans on going to any games this year? Taking the boys to take them down to Foxborough? Thoughts? I mean, maybe we get the family together.
I've thought about it. Maybe my older two guys. They've expressed some interest, but it's kind of a haul. But yeah, definitely still on the table. If not this year, then sometime in the future.
All right. Well, if you do, you have to use Vivid Seats. We're going to talk about this all year long. The Vivid Seats mobile app is the number one place to buy tickets online. You use the promo code OVERTIME. That's OVERTIME. Overtime, when you make your first purchase, and you get savings up to $100 on all ticket purchases, first-time customers only. So, buddy, we decide to go to a game. We log into Vivid Seats. We use the promo code OVERTIME. We grab them. We take the family. We do a little tailgating. We call it a Sunday.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, while we're on the theme of just kind of new players, new situations, new coaches, and look, we're working from a very top level down. We're going to be recording podcasts up into the rest of the season, so we'll start drilling things down more granularly as we get into it. But when we're looking at new situations, obviously the other one that we really need to take a look at is what's going on in Arizona. So they get the first pick in the draft. This is not news. Kyler Murray is going to come in and start right away. They also hire Cliff Kingsbury to take over the offensive play calling. And this is another one of those situations that I know you're gonna have to talk me down because I want to be so aggressive. I'm like, Kyler Murray plus David Johnson. Maybe we chuck in a wide receiver week one. Like I know that this is kind of where I want to go because you read all, you know, if you just look at Kingsbury's college resume, the guy was just one of these absolute foot on the gas, just air it out as much as possible, just go for the jugular on offense all the time. And I want to look at that. And then I'm like, oh, the rookie quarterback. And I don't know, man. You're going to have to talk me down here because this is another one where I'm like, stack all the Cardinals week one. But they're, again, another team that's really not projected to be very good. And I always struggle a little bit to know how good these offenses are going to be because just all the parts, the main parts, the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, also offensive play caller, are totally new. What are your thoughts here on the Cardinals?
So my first thought is I rank David Johnson lower than just about everyone. A coaching change is all well and good, but I know, like, you know, we were doing some drafts on draft.com, yep. Free shout out to those guys, and, you know, getting into some season long leagues and things like that. I just don't see. So David Johnson, we know that being a running back is really hard in the NFL. You're going to take an absolute ton of abuse. David Johnson was tackled more than 350 times in the year 2016. He missed essentially the entire 2017 season, came back last year and averaged 3.6 yards per attempt, where he had been averaging 4.2 yards per attempt, sort of in that prime season in 2016, averaged 8.9 yards per reception after averaging, you know, 11 and then 13 in his rookie year in 2016 and 2015. I actually love David Johnson's game. I love that, you know, his ability to catch the pass. You know, he's obviously dynamic on the run, can break off these long runs. Very exciting. I'm concerned about it, though. I don't know how I can not be concerned about it. And there's the additional fact of, like, I'm just not totally sure that they see him as the between the tackles guy when they get down and close in the goal line. So I think if you take all that together, Johnson only 7 touchdowns last year, 7 rushing touchdowns. I don't know. I get that there's a new coach. New coaches are cool. We have a long track record of coaches coming from college, not being able to translate that success into the NFL. I'm not going to play in the Cardinals week one. I'm going to wait and see. And that's just going to be my approach. I don't see any reason to force it. I'm not getting a huge value on these guys, right? Like, David Johnson is still the same price that he was last year. So you have to basically assume that just Kingsbury is going to come in and he's going to be worth 10% more fantasy points per play or something. And I just don't see it.
Yeah, rookie quarterback week one. I mean, I haven't totally drilled down on this one either about what the expectation is for a quarterback walking into a completely new situation in the NFL. Kyler Murray, look, he's a fantastic athlete. Obviously, number one pick in the draft for when baseball, the contract with the A's to just go and play in the NFL, and he's going to start week one. And I'm like, oh, he's going to scramble. He's a pretty accurate passer, all this stuff. And I'm probably, at the end of the day, going to be with you that it's just, at least from a cash game perspective, not going to make sense to try to be a week early on these guys because...
Yeah, do I have to play him week one? That's my only question. Like, how many number one quarterbacks have come in and just been trash? Like, it's just... Not trash, ultimately, like in the long term, but just like in those first few games.
Yeah, like I know people are going to say,
everyone's Patrick Mahomes, you know?
I was going to say Mahomes, but the difference with Mahomes was he was in the NFL for a full season before he took over. Like, he wasn't technically a rookie. He was, by all, you know, I mean, he did start the last game of the season in his rookie year, but he had spent a whole season in kind of like learning that offense and knowing what he sort of like understanding the conceptual piece and the speed and things like this. Like, this is a totally different situation than that. So I don't look at those situations and say this is a perfect one-to-one comp, because he had been around. And look, again, we're admitting that we were one of the outfits that was way late on Mahomes last year, for sure. Like, we took our lumps, just kind of thinking that the stuff on Mahomes, at least to start the season, was completely outlierish, and that we just ended up being wrong about that one. So we have at times been late on seeing sort of what is going to happen here, or if something is sustainable. I'm still very much on that was not sustainable for Mahomes last year. So this is like totally the old agree. Nate Silver going in and trying to explain why, you know, Trump won, but he was still correct, kind of thing. Like, it doesn't sound great, even though what he was saying probably is technically correct. I get that part does sound like sour grapes, but I there's got to be some regression coming from Mahomes. But again, like, we were wrong about that as well. So I'm totally admitting that we at times kind of just are late on this stuff. And I think with Murray and the whole Arizona offense, I'm with you. And they have a great matchup too against Detroit week one, but I'm probably going to need to wait and see. Any other new situations that are kind of standing out to you here as we sort of work top to bottom? I mean, we covered the Jets thing with Bell and Beckham and the Cardinals, the Browns. Are there any other player movement or just kind of situations that you want to keep your eye on, or maybe are having the difficult time evaluating going into the season?
Yeah, I've got my eye on the Bucks, actually. The Bucks last year were one of those sneaky DFS relevant teams where it seemed like between Fitzpatrick and Winston, they had someone winning a big tournament with their quarterbacks every week, and the guys could randomly get pulled mid-game and whatever else. But while that was totally insane, I do think there's some interesting spots to keep an eye on. So the guy that's been getting a lot of offseason attention has been Chris Godwin. Godwin last season, and I'm pulling this also from Pro Football Focus. They do good work over there, those guys. But this is their article, Fantasy Football 96 Stats, three fantasy football stats for every NFL team for 2019. That's a mouthful. That's what
it's called. Scott Barrett. He's one of the very best writers Scott in football. Barrett, yeah.
He's excellent. He's excellent.
Yeah, it's fine to to credit him, yeah.
But Chris Godwin, he points out, ranked fourth on all of Tampa Bay's wide receivers in targets per game last year. So they somehow found a way to target three other guys more than him and still rank 27th at wide receiver overall in terms of total fantasy points. I guess Arians has come out and said that Godwin could be close to 100 catch guy in 2019. And if you're trying to look at a guy, like, you know, one of the things that we'll harp on week in, week out as we go forward throughout the season is trying to find the right kind of upside guys, right? So Godwin represents a guy who's already pretty good, right? The guy had 7 receiving touchdowns last year, averaged 52 receiving yards a game. He was already fine, and he's cheap. He's 6,900 on FanDuel going into week one. And if we think there's any way that a coaching change and just this awareness that he was their best receiver last season on a per-target basis, if we think that there's any chance that translates into increased opportunity, now we're just getting free value on top of it. And if it's not, and if he's just the same guy he was last year, he's still probably not destroying you, right? So I think that's kind of the type of situation I'm looking for going into this season, where a coaching change could make a fundamental difference. And I think the floor on it, again, relatively low, or relatively high. So yeah, I'd like Godwin this year. I'm a little bit more down on Mike Evans. He's already banged up with quad thing going into this season.
Pretty inefficient guy anyway. Like we've seen season over season of him just have a really hard time converting. It kind of doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Like, he's had a really hard time converting target share into actual tons of value. So and he's had his upside for sure, but we've seen many.
And he was better about that last year too, for what it's worth. But I'm just not.
I mean, just like how many times can you count like the Mike Evans chalk weeks where it's just like, he just kind of disappears.
One catch on 10 targets.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen that so many times, like of just the inefficiency. And I know I'm just cherry picking, like, you know, a random thought where I'm like, oh, he's like 60% owned, and sometimes we're on the fade and sometimes we're on the chalk, and I just, you know, kind of sweating this out with him. But he just wasn't all that efficient of a guy really to begin with, even with slight improvement. So I love that. Yeah, I love looking at situations like this. I feel like there's just tons of these things. And like, you know, you make a good point about trying to find a guy who won't kill you, but also has the upside. Because I look at guys like Tyler Boyd with AJ Green out, and I'm thinking, maybe Tyler Boyd can just kill you. Like, I get it makes sense that, like, with AJ Green, he's going to miss the beginning of the season. There's going to be more target share to go around, but maybe we just kind of already know what Tyler Boyd is. Like, I mentioned this in the week one pricing, and you made a good point. Like, you know, he had the most targets on the team from when the time that Green left with injury last year, and really the targets weren't all that many. So I look at Tyler Boyd and I think, oh, no AJ Green, let's roll Tyler Boyd. But maybe we just kind of already know what he is, and maybe like the production can kill you because you just can't give him AJ. We know that he's just not going to get all AJ Green's targets, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Bengals another funny team though, because they're with Zach Taylor taking over as the head coach there. They're another team with a totally different coaching staff, so you get the double dip of, you know, star player being banged up, totally new coaching staff. They're just going to be seeing different things, right? Like, Tyler Boyd's a name we recognize, but there's no reason why it can't just be some other guy that the average fantasy football fan has never heard of.
Yeah, John Ross actually had like a similar amount of targets during that time, but he was like me running out there with like just two bricks attached to my hands. Like, he saw targets, but like it was like, you know, the equivalent of the ball just bouncing off his helmet every time it got to him. So like I think he had seven targets one game and had like one catch for 5 yards or something. Like, the numbers, I couldn't believe it when I was looking down his game log. Anyway, so I think we're going to continue to evaluate these situations. Like I said, we wanted to start the season by just taking a top-down look at some of the major changes. There's going to be tons of stuff for us to talk about over the next couple weeks with football. Like, I'm running off, my list still is going. I want to talk about Lamar Jackson. I want to talk about some of these rushing attacks. I think we're going to get an idea of, you know, where the where the Zeke and the Gordon contracts are going over the next couple of weeks. But I think we can probably save some of that for next week, and as we get some more information, unless I'm just cutting you off too short, buddy. Is the list long and you just want to keep rolling through this stuff, or can we just want to save some stuff for next week?
I think we could probably save a couple of things. I think I've got also a take on tight ends going into this.
Okay, let's save that one, because I think that's one we can probably spend a decent amount of time on. I'm assuming you're talking about Kelce compared to the field or something like that. We can probably tease that for next
week. Yeah, like the question of paying up in general and tight ends going into this season, because I think it's actually a very weird year for tight ends in kind of a good way.
And so, you see that when like you said, just another shout out to draft.com. If you're doing best balls, you really do see like where that best. But the reason we've mentioned this a couple times is best balls really are a good way to just take.
What are best balls, Doug? Many people listening won't know.
If you don't know what a best ball tournament is, just basically you're doing a snake draft style, just regular fantasy football draft, and then the players that you draft are your players for the season. You don't make any roster changes, and you just roster your best scoring players from week to week basis. So you roster a quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, and a tight end. Then you draft your 18 players, and then that's just your team for the whole season. And draft.com just places your very best, highest scorers each week, and that's your lineup. So it's a really cool way to just get exposure to a lot of different scenarios over the course of the year, just from one standpoint, without having to worry about the muss and fuss of having to, you know, do waiver wires and stuff like that. So just from a I don't know, a fun slash way to follow a bunch of different scenarios way, the best ball drafts are good. But they're also just a good way to sort of determine where value is and where the difference in one player to the next, or the difference in one position to the next. So we'll just wait for this for next time, because we'll talk about Kelce and the dip between maybe him and Kittle, and then how much you fall off a table after that. So
spoiler alert, there might not be as big a dip as you think.
We will do that next time. In the meantime,
that's a tease there, buddy.
DFSR.com is the site. DFSR.com/deals is going to get you started on a free trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL chat room, where we're in there really all week with our boy Chris Doyle, and then also on Sunday just talking football all day. So you go get a free trial of that. There's no risk. You like what you see, you stay with us for the long term. We're on the Overtime Media Network, brought to you from the Vivid Seed Studios. And if you want to just do something for free for us, because we've had really good traction on this, you go over and like, rate and review the podcast. Subscribe to it on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. That's just a free way. If you like what you hear, you want to stick with us, you go and rate and review the podcast, subscribe to it. You'll be with us all season long. Buddy, next time we'll talk tight ends. We'll talk Baltimore and the rushing attack. And I'm sure we'll have a ton of other stuff to talk about. Enjoy your Friday, pal.
Thanks.